1530 WCKY here in Cincinnati. Great talk radio town. Let me tell you, we'll be back here tomorrow. Now, there's no hidden agenda here. I'm here to do some work with the great station and the folks here because sales solves all problems, okay? And this is just something I do. I'll go to markets around the country and work with the sales folks because that's the name of the game. I mean, if we don't have advertising, heck, we're not going to be back here on the air tomorrow to tell the truth. So it's all just part of the deal. We will be back in Cincinnati.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. President Bush still on the defensive over the deal for an Arab company to manage U.S. seaports.
More people learn about the transaction that has been scrutinized and approved by my government, the more they'll be comforted that our ports will be secure.
Not good enough for Chairman Anthony Kosha of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. He's suing to stop it.
We have gotten very little, if any, information from the company itself on the subject, and no information from the federal government agency that reviewed its appropriateness from a security standpoint.
CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller says the president may be backing off his stand, but just slightly.
In a radio interview, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove says President Bush is willing to accept a short delay in the port deal. Rove makes clear the White House wants time to persuade members of Congress that there's no threat to U.S. national security by letting a company from the United Arab Emirates run operations at six major U.S. ports. The White House also hopes to avoid a veto fight with Congress over this issue. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Curfews are in effect after 2 days of bloodshed in Iraq. At least 112 people have been killed across the country. The aftermath of yesterday's attacks on a Shiite shrine in Samarra. Nearly 50 bodies were found northeast of Baghdad. They appear to be drivers who gunmen stopped, then shot. Seven U.S. soldiers have been killed in a pair of roadside bombings just north of Baghdad. Military travel has been curtailed. No gold for American women at the figure skating finals. CBS's Steve Futterman is at the Olympics.
Both Sasha Kohn and Arina Slutskaya from Russia fell during their free skate. The only one of the top three skaters who did not fall was Shizuka Aragawa from Japan, and that proved to be the difference. She stayed upright. She wins the gold medal. The pre-Olympic favorite, Slutskaya, gets the bronze. Sasha Kohn gets silver.
The sky's falling in on Chicken Limbo. Now Milton Bradley says it's recalling the child's game.
46 reports of the units collapsing with 23 injuries, and this includes some bumps, bruises, and welts.
Scott Wolfson at the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says the company's offering a free repair kit, but for now, if your kids have Chicken Limbo, he says, take it away. Our CBS News colleague Christopher Glenn has hung up the headphones for the last time.
It's a wrap for me. Not though until I say one more time.
Wins the gold medal. The pre-Olympic favorite, Slutskaya, gets the bronze. Sasha Kohn gets silver.
The sky's falling in on Chicken Limbo. Now Milton Bradley says it's recalling the child's game.
And 46 reports of the units collapsing with 23 injuries, and this includes some bumps, bruises, and welts.
Scott Wolfson at the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says the company's offering a free repair kit, but for now, if your kids have Chicken Limbo, he says, take it away. Our CBS News colleague Christopher Glenn has hung up the headphones for the last time.
It's a wrap for me. Not though until I say one more time.
Consumer Product Safety Commission says the company's offering a free repair kit, but for now, if your kids have Chicken Limbo, he says, take it away. Our CBS News colleague Christopher Glenn has hung up the headphones for the last time.
It's a wrap for me. Not though until I say one more time, and proudly. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
After nearly 50 years in journalism, 35 here at CBS, Chris is retired. Chris was passionate about covering the space program. As one who's followed in his footsteps, it's nice to be able to say this very public thank you. Thank you, Christopher Glenn, for setting the standard for the rest of us. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas.
Father was victimized. He was asked what this is like for him.
Heart wrenching.
Michael Mastromarino, the owner of a...
Center for American Progress, News and Analysis. And I like to refer to Faz as the guy who hands out factoids instead of Altoids. But I imagine he has really fresh breath anyway. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay today. It's really busy to try to keep up with all the provocations, all the things going on in the news these days. Let's start off first in Iraq, where the attack on that very holy mosque yesterday has really cracked wide open some of the fissures in that nation and in its struggling new government that really threatened to blow wide open much deeper. And the first thing I guess I want to ask you about is just terminology. Last night I watched the PBS NewsHour, and they featured a lengthy interview with New York Times reporter Ed Wong from Baghdad. And he was dancing around the issue of the term civil war. He said, well, yeah, most people believe we've already got a civil war here, but not a full-scale civil war. And I find that kind of amusing because the Bush administration, of course, wants us to believe that everything's hunky-dory and there'll be a few bumps in the road. But sooner or later, this strong, broad-based government will surface in Iraq. And we heard just in the last hour that the most important Sunni Muslim party has quit the talks to form a new government in Iraq. And this is just more fallout from the attack on the mosque yesterday. And I'm just curious, in your circles, are people wary of that phrase, civil war? Or are we just accepting that that is our new reality?
No, I don't think we should be wary of it at all. We should call it like it is. I think that this is a civil war. And I think that it's heightened and escalated as of the last couple of days because of the events that you mentioned. I thought one of the key quotes from yesterday was from one of the key Shiite leaders. He's one of Iraq's two vice presidents. His name is Abdul Mahdi. And he said that this is as 9/11 is in the United States, calling it their 9/11. And I think that too often we see things from our own perspective and don't realize that the importance of certain events that occur over there in Iraq. And for them, yesterday was a very big day. It meant war. And just as President Bush reacted to 9/11 by saying we're going on the offensive, so too should we think that the Shiites are going to see this as war on them, and then they're going to go on the offensive.
Yeah, and the react was very swift. Shiites took to the streets all over the country, including in the southern area of Basra, which gives more concern about linkage between Iranian Shiites and those in Iraq. And so this is a very significant event. It's going to be interesting to see exactly where it goes. Now, Faz, one of the other interesting things prompted by watching the report on PBS last night is that they made an allusion but didn't back it up with any kind of facts. Well, maybe this attack was carried out by al-Zarqawi. And I have seen nothing in print or on broadcast that really can verify this. And, of course, I'm sure an investigation is underway, and it's not easy to pinpoint. We know that about a half dozen individuals dressed as police officers entered the mosque early in the morning and proceeded to. It's not clear whether they were suicide bombers or if they left the scene and detonated their explosives remotely. Still, I find it interesting that the U.S. Points a finger immediately at al-Zarqawi, and it appears that both Sunnis and Shiites blame the United States for this attack.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, that when something like this happens, people are going to point fingers. We still have people wondering what happened in 9/11. So it's not unusual that when something major like this happens, people are looking for a rationale or a reason to explain it or to use it as a way to confirm their previous suspicions of the United States. I'm not sure that that has any validity, but I think that the question of the al-Zarqawi influence, I think that should be explored a little further. I'm surprised that reporters are not digging at that a little bit more and trying to determine whether it was, in fact, one of his operations or, as I think, the whole insurgency movement is going beyond Zarqawi. Are there other groups that are functioning? Too often, I think we point the finger at Zarqawi too quickly and say, well, it must be him if something bad happened. We don't realize that the insurgency movement is quite broad-based and actually has a lot of support from indigenous Iraqis themselves. So, if we were to find the answer to who conducted this bombing and it wasn't al-Zarqawi, I think it would tell us exactly what's going on the ground.
Interesting item I'll pass along to you and share with our listeners, some of whom may have heard this. We had a very fascinating interview with Mark Manning, who is a documentary filmmaker, who covered the siege of Fallujah from the perspective of the people living there. And he told us that the people in Fallujah, where the U.S. has suggested Zarqawi has spent time, don't believe he even exists. They think of him as a complete straw man, a fabrication of the United States. And he told us a quick anecdote about how he was sitting around with some adults and a little kid came up and, threw a can at a tree or something minor like that. And one of the adults spoke to Mark Manning, pointed at the kid and said, "Oh, there's Zarqawi."
You know, I don't know if you've seen this documentary that PBS Frontline has just put out this week. It's called, I think, The Insurgency. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to go look at it. And I think it does talk about this, the fact that Zarqawi isn't as big a player as it is just the movement itself that has gained ground, is partly inspired by foreign Islamists, but there are also a ton of former Baathist Iraqi army officials who have made this into a broad-scale organized movement and have converted a great number of Iraqis into their way of thinking so that an occupier. And I don't think that has yet entered into the mind of the administration.
And finally, on this topic, Faz, I want to turn to the paragraph in today's progress report, headlined "The New Power Brokers." And you make the point that U.S. opposition to Iran and to Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has had the side effect of empowering them with the Iraqi people. And I believe that we're making the same mistake with Hamas in the occupied territories and the conflict.
Propaganda for them. I think bin Laden's tapes prove that. His movement has just spawned off of Bush's remarks. He just turns them right around and says, "This is what the U.S. president is saying about me and Ahmad Shalabi. Look at where he is now." That all the people who we kind of wanted, who we implanted from the United States into Iraq and thought that they were going to take control, have no influence whatsoever. It's the people on the ground who have credibility, who are rallying against us, who are now gaining steam.
And I would just point out that this successful policy is the one that has kept Fidel Castro in power in Havana for 45 years. We'll pick up in just a moment with Faz Shakir from the Daily Progress Report. Get it delivered to your email every day. Log on to progressreport.org with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery Deli and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses. Funding.com offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337.
Supporting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and as you know, 9/11 changed everything. Except when it comes to the interests of billionaire plutocrats and their cronies. Yes, putting out fire with gasoline. That appears to be the latest page in the Karl Rove playbook. Even the Republican leaders, Denny Hastert and Bill Frist, have separated themselves from the White House on the issue of the sale of the management of six U.S. ports to the company owned by the nation of Dubai, Dubai Ports World. We continue with Faz Shakir, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And Faz, you guys have been all over this story. And I even think I've heard some of your items used as talking points by Republicans this week.
Yeah, well, you know, on our blog, we decided to do an interesting thing, which I don't think many liberal blogs have done, which is to do both sides of the issue. And so we've presented the arguments for why the deal is bad, and then I have written a personal blog post about why I think the deal is okay.
Uh-huh. And I haven't seen that, so tell me why you think this deal is okay.
Well, I'm just not convinced yet that the evidence warrants the fear that has pervaded the community so far. I think that politicians are using the same 9/11 fear rhetoric to get us to overlook the evidence that justifies this deal. And I think that having looked at the company itself and looked at their track record and what sorts of operations that they're going to be doing, I don't feel that our national security will be compromised. I think that the issue has more to do with not who's owning the ports, who's owning or managing the ports, but rather what's coming in and out of the ports. Why are only 5% of our cargo getting inspected each and every year? That's the issue. I mean, it doesn't matter who's going to own it or who doesn't own it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree with you that security is the responsibility of others than the companies that run the cranes, the stevedores, hire the longshoremen, the truckers, the own the containers, and handle the mechanics of port operations. But you would concede that having a nation like Dubai that has a mixed record in terms of our issues about terrorism, two of the 9/11 terrorists came from the UAE. A lot of the money was transferred through there. It's a transshipment point. It was the favorite spot that AQ Khan used to ship nuclear elements through to Libya and Iran and North Korea. And so there are many troubling aspects here that raise questions that I think need to be addressed. And I hope that this flap is going to lead to a thorough analysis of the weakness of our ports and their vulnerabilities. So in some respects, I agree with you, Faz, but I do think there are legitimate concerns that the nation of Dubai is different than the independent British company that we previously sold out or outsourced our port operations to.
I think where we agree is that this deserves heightened scrutiny. I'm in favor of extending the 45-day investigation, allowing people to look at the national security concerns, determine whether there's anything there, and try to allay some of those concerns. I think that with respect to UAE's ties to 9/11 and those sorts of things, those certainly did exist in some fashion or another. UAE is one of the most liberalized and in many ways westernized nations in the Middle East, and it has free borders, free access, free market. So for the terrorists, it's a great haven for them to transport in and out of and to conduct their operations from.
Yemen is part of the UAE, and they slipped up, at least I can put it that way, and one of the nasty terrorists that we got locked up there is now once again on the lam.
Yeah.
And so it is a very porous place, and the U.S. likes it for that reason. It's fair to say that we have used it as a transshipment point, and we like their relaxed borders and their relaxed banking rules because it permits us to do things that would be undetected or at least resistant to detection.
And I think it's important to note that they're the owners of the port operations. The American longshoremen, the unionized workers will be working at these ports. merely the capital will merely flow not from the British hands but into the UAE's hands because they'll now have ownership over this. We're not talking about guys in turbans rowing boats into the harbors of Baltimore, which seems to be the image that a lot of xenophobic conservatives seem to want Americans to get in their minds, which is...
Well, and this apparently, the Fuhrer, at least on the right, originated with hate talk radio guy Michael Savage. So I am wary of the xenophobia that you're talking about, and I don't embrace that in the least. But I do think that there are serious questions here, such as Secretary Snow's ability to investigate a deal that would benefit his deferred compensation plan. And he's the one who signed off on this as the head of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. They did what appears to be a very limited investigation of this. And then, of course, the White House's embarrassment over the fact that the president didn't really know anything about this until it broke in the news has put them at least three steps behind on responding.
And also their secretiveness. I think as somebody who approves of the deal, I would wish that they would just get the information out there. There was this committee in the Treasury Department which reviewed the deal and okayed the deal, and they produce a report explaining why the deal is okay. At this point, with all the fury that surrounds it, maybe it might be a good deal for the, or a good idea for them to just release that report. They continue to say that that's proprietary information and that they never release that, which may be the truth, you know, that these sorts of things never do get released. But in this case, maybe to try to calm everyone's fears, they should just go ahead and make it public.
Got about 30 seconds, a quick fact check. The progress report was the first to identify that in addition to the six East Coast ports, that the Gulf ports of Beaumont and Corpus Christi have military contracts, and those will be transferred in this P&O deal. Is that true, and why does most of the reporting exclude Beaumont and Corpus Christi?
That's right. The military will be transporting through these ports as well. There's a contract that, just as you mentioned, that I don't know why the media hasn't talked about this, perhaps because they're buying into the idea that the deal is okay, and that that this revolves more around Arab governments taking over ports and not about...
Faz, we're out of time. Thanks a lot for joining us. Faz Shakir.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. It's 3:33, another sunny afternoon along the California coastline. Joining us now is William D. Hartung. Bill Hartung is the President's Fellow at the World Policy Institute, Director of the Institute's Arms Trade Project. His most recent book, there are many of them to his credit, is called How Much Are You Making on the War, Daddy? A Quick and Dirty Guide to War Profiteering in the Bush Administration, published by Nation Books. And Bill Hartung, welcome to our program today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
It's nice to talk with you again. And I scrutinized your latest bio recently, and I determined for the first time this line that you are a stand-up comedian in your spare time.
Well, what spare time there is, yeah.
Yeah? When was your last gig?
It's been a couple months. I sometimes I do it in clubs, sometimes I do it at receptions.
Uh-huh.
My last one was to a group of organized atheists.
Oh.
Which has surprised me, because I thought one of the points of being an atheist was to not have so many meetings. But
well, sometime can I invite you on and we'll just have a lighthearted exchange, because I didn't know this side of you, and I've always related to the very serious, studious side of Bill Hartung.
Yeah, it'd be great to do that, especially given the issues we usually talk about.
Right. Yeah, I'd love to schedule a time for a lighter conversation. Today is not the time for it, though. I'd like to begin by asking you about the reaction to the bombing of the Golden Mosque in Samarra yesterday in Iraq. And I learned just a couple of hours ago that the lead Sunni Muslim party has said they are quitting the talks to form a new government. And I guess without parsing language, the Bush administration wants to resist any use of the term civil war. But isn't that what we have, and isn't it getting worse?
Well, I think even before this, there was a civil war going on. You had things like Shiite death squads within the police.
Oh, that's just a sectarian conflict.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, are we in a war in Iraq or is it a police action?
Yeah.
But I think this really takes it to another level, because to attack such a revered shrine and the kind of reaction that it's getting, I think it's ratcheted up the civil war that already existed.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know who's responsible. Unlike other actions, we often get a phone call or the media gets a report of someone, quote-unquote, claiming responsibility. But this has inflamed tensions and passions among Sunnis and Shias so remarkably that you can't imagine that anyone would take credit for this. Still, in the American media, the whisper is that al-Zarqawi is responsible for this. And in Iraq, the whisper is that the United States is responsible for this. I don't expect you to have an answer at this point, but how do you react to that kind of whispering and speculation?
Well, I'm not sure it's helpful. I think it would be better to try to find out who's done it. Obviously, it could either have been done by one of the two sides, a Sunni group. Could have been done in theory by Zarqawi, or I don't really see the United States having an interest in fomenting civil war when we've got all those troops stuck over there.
No, I'm looking more at that perception than a reality.
Yeah, I think it would be better for people not to jump to conclusions, and if there's a way to find out who did it, then that would be ideal. And if not, I'm not sure apportioning blame is going to help at this point, as opposed to figuring out how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And how do we defuse these tensions? Because we've seen an eruption of incredible proportions over the Danish cartoons. Many of us in the West are puzzled, saying, there are significant issues. If you want to get upset over an image, the recently released images from Abu Ghraib are worth marching in the streets and protesting, and I don't defend property destruction or the loss of life, but if you're going to torch an embassy, Abu Ghraib is a substantive reason. Danish cartoons don't appear that way to me.
Well, I think there's a lot of feeling of having been dishonored, disgraced, disrespected in the Muslim world. And so some of these things I think are viewed as just sort of the final straw in a whole series of activities, and so they do, standing alone, they do seem kind of peculiar to be the kind of flashpoint for this kind of outrage. But I think it's somehow it's just part of the mix. It's viewed as kind of a gratuitous slap, but obviously these other things have a lot more impact on actual Muslims, things like Abu Ghraib.
Well, and the Golden Mosque.
Exactly.
That, of course, is a shrine and an icon of great significance.
And I think it'll fuel the backlash over the less, the more symbolic and to me less important issue of the cartoons, because it's, it's got such a history, it's got such a deeper symbolism in some ways to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does the U.S. navigate, and I know you're not an advisor to the Bush administration, but if you were, how would you advise them to navigate these sectarian tensions? And, Bush issued a statement today condemning the bombing of the mosque and basically joining al-Sistani and other Iraqi leaders in calling for calm. But it's hard to imagine that his call is has receptivity in any way among average Iraqis.
Well, a majority of Iraqis want the United States out of their country, and this includes Shiites, this includes Sunnis, this includes people very active in politics, this includes people who are sort of sitting back, just hoping not to be caught in the crossfire. And so I think one of the ways to try to settle things down is to have a plan, kind of a transparent plan for pulling U.S. troops out of there. And then there may be a civil war, there may not, but I think the chances would be better of resolving some of these differences if Iraqis knew that the ball was in their court. That it was up to them to form a government, it was up to them to make these things work,
mm-hmm.
and things couldn't just be sort of blamed on the United States, as apparently has happened with this bombing.
Well, Bill Hartung, I'm certainly there, and I'm prepared for any day now an announcement of phased withdrawal of American forces. But getting the administration there is certainly another story. And given the posture the president has taken and the rather far-fetched claims that we have a plan and strategy for victory, how does he reach a point of acceptance that, you know, this is a quagmire, we are at least a part of the problem, if not the most significant part, and that this civil war will take place with or without us?
Well, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner because they've talked about victory, they've talked about staying as long as it takes, they've talked about, you know, creating democracy in Iraq, but of course at every stage that democracy has been kind of massaged and manipulated by the administration. But, you know, the other thing that they've said is that they'll do whatever the commanders in the field say is required. And that might be, at some point, a way to begin to pull out, because the commanders are not happy with how things are going. A number of them have said that this is really something that needs a political and not a military solution. So if they, you know, didn't muzzle the commanders and actually let them speak their minds, that might be a way forward. But of course,
which one wants to be the next Shinseki?
Exactly. And also, if they do that, then they're implicitly indicating that they've been wrong all this time.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, the blowing up of the mosque makes it that much harder for them, because they can't really kind of declare victory and leave in the sense of saying, oh, we've made things more stable. Sure, Iraqi democracy's in its infancy, but now it's time to let it flower in the absence of, you know, U.S. Troop presence and so forth. That kind of argument is hard to make when the place is going up in flames.
And with this report of the Sunnis pulling out of the talks to form a government, then we have a Shiite theocracy dominating in Baghdad, partitioning of the north to accommodate the Kurds, and then the Sunnis are kind of left out in the cold there. They can continue to try to hold the center of the country, the Sunni triangle, but the Shia will have a stronger hand and a likely alliance of some sort with Iran. That's not the picture that we expected in the waltz to Baghdad, as the Bush administration painted it.
No, well, it's not clear that they were listening to anybody who knew anything about Iraq. In fact, I think those people were viewed as suspect by the neoconservatives who really pushed for the war. They had kind of a, narrow ideology that said, you know, American power is the decisive force in the world, and that everybody wants to live the American way of life, whatever, you know, however you might define that. And so I don't think they were prepared. In fact, there were people, there was a discussion of how Bush was surprised to learn that there were different groups in Iraq, Shia, Sunni, Kurdish, at an early stage of the planning of this. So, you know, they're kind of paying the price, as are all of us, for the kind of aggressive naivete that they engaged in going in there.
Couldn't they have used a baseball metaphor to explain it to him? You know, they're different teams, and
it's like the Red Sox and the Yankees, only a lot worse.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he would have gotten that.
We're talking with William Hartung. He is at the World Policy Institute, where he directs the Arms Trade Resource Center. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now. Get on the line at 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast. Or if you're in Eureka or listening on that computer thing, you can call us toll-free. It's 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. When we return, we'll talk about U.S. policy and how it forces people into enemy camps. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 3:48. We continue with William Hartung from the World Policy Institute. He's director of the Arms Trade Resource Center. And, Bill, if you'll indulge me, I've got a kind of long-winded setup here, and then I'd like to get your reaction and comments. First item is from the Center for American Progress Daily Progress Report today, and it includes a quote from Professor Steven Spiegel at UCLA. It reads, U.S. opposition to Iran and Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has had the side effect of empowering them with the Iraqi people. And this is the quote, Iran appears to be the greatest beneficiary of the U.S.-led invasion, said Professor Spiegel. He said, Tehran no longer has an archenemy on its frontier, and the war has led to a recrudescence, and I need a little help with that. That's not in my vocabulary. A recrudescence of fellow Shiites throughout the region. He said that Iran, who's blaming the attack on the mosque on America and Israel, is now pushed to the apex of power in the region. And I'd like to link that to U.S. policy toward the Palestinians with the ascension of Hamas, because we are tacitly approving the move by Israel to it is seen, I guess, by some as a way to send a warning signal to Hamas that they must repudiate their previous stands on the extinction of Israel. And we see the unintended consequences in two headlines in today's New York Times. Iran pledges financial aid to Hamas-led Palestinians and Saudis reject U.S. request to cut off aid to Hamas. So I characterize this as the successful policy that we have used to keep Castro in power for more than 45 years. Tell me your thoughts.
It's to push for a real peace there. So I think if there's a cutoff of money flowing through Israel, money from the United States, European Union, as those articles indicate, precisely what will happen is Hamas will fall back on the Iranians, possibly the Syrians. The U.S. will alienate itself from allies like Saudi Arabia and the Arab world at a time when really what they should be looking for, I think, is a continuation of the ceasefire, that if Hamas agrees that it won't engage in suicide bombing, the monies will flow. There'll be discussions about whether there can be some coming to terms about peace agreement, borders in the future. Not expect Hamas to come to the table, renouncing everything that it has publicly stood for many, many years. So there's no question it's a difficult situation, but I think they are going to make matters worse if they try to strong arm Hamas after it's just won a democratic election.
And it just appears to me that it's not quite gratuitous, but Israel is flexing its muscle, and of course this is the acting Prime Minister Olmert, and that of course has its own set of political issues and origins. But it seems that this is the proverbial shot across the bow, and to me, it would make more sense to let Hamas try to assimilate into the government structure there. And then if they take steps that Israel finds challenging or provocative, then the kind of cutoff of this transfer of Palestinians' money to Palestinians might be an understandable response. But at this point, it seems to be a big poke in the eye.
Well, it's amazing how both the United States and Israel seem to have such little understanding of how these kinds of preemptive policies are viewed and what kind of reactions they're likely to provoke. If you look at the intervention in Iraq, a majority of people in the world have been against that, both because of the way it was done without any real UN approval, without letting the inspectors do their work to find out whether there were truly weapons of mass destruction there, but also because of the arrogance of assuming that the United States could somehow make things better by allegedly spreading democracy through the barrel of a gun.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and given that we have attempted to do that and we're there, it just seems that the administration at some point has to adopt a more nuanced approach and understand that these heavy-handed approaches really are counterproductive.
Well, one would hope. I think you're right. The case in Cuba is an excellent case in point. Basically, Castro has many faults. He's not a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as he can rally nationalist sentiment against the threats and invective hurled their way by the United States, then the idea of any kind of internal reform in Cuba pretty much goes out the window. I think similar things could happen in Iran as they continue to threaten there, even though there's elements of a functioning democracy, unfortunately often overruled by the mullahs, but they have women in the parliament, they have actual votes. They're at least as democratic as Iraq, if not more so. And reformers there are going to be hard-pressed to carry their case to the Iranian people if the United States is threatening to make airstrikes against the Iranian nuclear facilities,
mm-hmm.
is basically saying that Iran doesn't have the right to do what Israel, for example, has done with its 100 to 200 nuclear weapons. I think basically if they want to deal with the Iranian question, they have to deal with the whole region. They have to look at how do they react to Pakistan's nuclear weapons, how do they react to Israel's nuclear weapons. If we're going to keep other countries from getting them, don't we have to put all that on the table and come up with some solution where all the countries are going to feel secure?
And curiously, Secretary Rice publicly talked about an extra $75 to $100 million to support people who would overthrow the regime in Tehran. And she said it publicly. I mean, this is overt, not covert. I could understand that this administration would be engaging in propaganda or other efforts. But why did she suggest that publicly?
Well, I think the spin they've tried to put on this now is that it's pro-democracy aid and that therefore they don't have to hide it. But obviously it's not perceived that way in Iran. You know, it's perceived as an outside power interfering in their politics at the very least. But I think a lot of Americans have kind of bought this idea that, oh, this is okay. It's pro-democracy aid. It's not military intervention. But you could imagine what would happen if Russia or Saudi Arabia or some other, you know, China, some country with resources started funding non-governmental groups whose ultimate, you know, goal was to change the U.S. government. Maybe Hugo Chavez from Venezuela. You know, people would hit the ceiling, and the outrage would be palpable, as it has been over this question of whether a country from the United Arab Emirates can be involved in running the logistics of U.S. ports. So,
and briefly, what's your position on that, Bill?
Well, I think it's been overblown. You know, I really don't think that, I think the real issue is that the U.S. has no port security plan.
I agree.
You know, they don't, the majority of containers are not checked. You know, our Homeland Security Department, as it showed under Hurricane Katrina, is barely competent, if that. And I think it, to some degree, the question of, you know, what country is, you know, providing ownership of this port's logistics is not as important as whether we can get our own government to do a decent job of protecting the ports.
Well, and we got to stop those Brits from selling off our ports to Arab countries.
Well, Bill, right. We should.
I'm out of time, but I want to thank you very much for joining us, and we will invite you back to have a lighthearted conversation sometime when your schedule permits.
Great. I appreciate it.
William Hartung, World Policy Institute, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, why did Paul Hackett pull out of the Senate race in Ohio? Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Discover the magic of green tea, an ancient secret with amazing powers. The benefits of green tea have helped improve the health of thousands of people. Renowned health expert Dr. Alex Duarte says that green tea has powerful antioxidant properties that keep the immune system strong. Listen to KRXA AM 540 on Saturday, February 25th at 5 p.m. to learn how you can use green tea to increase energy, lose weight, and live longer. Don't miss this show on Saturday, February 25th at 5 p.m. right here on KRXA AM 540, your progressive prescription.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's not crystal clear who will run the docks from New Orleans to New York.
It's okay with the White House if the ports deal is delayed a bit. I'm Mark Noller.
A spike in violence in Iraq.
It's the worst crisis this country has faced since Saddam fell.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Dave Barrett. In 1 week, operations at six U.S. ports could be run by an Arab company. The Bush administration had signed off on the deal, but members of the Senate Armed Services Committee are concerned. Michigan Democrat Carl Levin.
America's port security is too critical to be subjected to this kind of casual approach.
Might the agreement be put on the back burner? At the White House, CBS's Mark Noller.
A top White House aide says a brief delay in the ports deal would be okay. But President Bush began the day making clear he sees no reason why the transfer of port operations to an Arab company should not go through.
People don't need to worry about security.
A delay in closing the deal would help Mr. Bush avoid a veto showdown with Congress. It would give the administration time to make its case that the deal should go through. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar, sorry, this is the Kia.
My son has locked himself in our vehicle.
Oh, how old is he?
He's three.
Oh,
I know.
I'd like to verify your PIN number. Do you remember what that could be?
757.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
I'm going to set up the unlock for you. I'll call you back to let you know that the doors should be unlocked.
Thank you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers.
The United States has the power to reshuffle the deck in Iraq, and we reshuffle the deck in Iraq, but we don't have the power to determine where the cards will fall. They're still falling, and we can't control that at all.
Also in Iraq, 7 more U.S. soldiers have died in roadside bomb attacks. Last month, ABC World News Tonight co-anchor Bob Woodruff was seriously hurt in Iraq in a roadside blast. He is improving, but a network email says Woodruff still has a lot of rehab remaining. Cameraman Doug Vogt has recovered enough and today was released from a hospital outside of Washington, D.C. Diplomatic conversations are hinting that Iran could tell U.N. nuclear inspectors something about its uranium enrichment program, like perhaps how it could be used for military purposes. Things didn't add up the past 2 fiscal years for the storefront tax preparers of H&R Block. The company's state tax liability was understated by $32 million. He'd been thinking about this day for a while.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. Another massive...
Today, at age 67, Christopher Glenn sat at this very microphone for the final time.
I've been doing the work I love for nearly 50 years now. Honored to have done it at this great news-gathering organization the last 35. But retirement is beckoning, and it's a wrap for me. Not, though, until I say one more time, and proudly, that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
He had said he preferred radio to TV because you have to tell the listeners a story and make them understand. That's much more of a challenge for a journalist, and it makes it more interesting in the long run. Christopher Glenn always did that. He made his broadcasts more interesting. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I love sledding, but I'm so cold.
Let's go to my house for Ovaltine Hot.
All right, Ovaltine Hot, come on!
The kids will be back soon. Let's make them rich chocolate Ovaltine Hot.
Great idea.
Dave's mom's making
creamy, chocolatey Ovaltine Hot.
Yeah!
Oh, Ovaltine's made with milk.
Yeah, so Ovaltine tastes creamy. And it's full of vitamins and minerals. Swiss Miss and Nestle Hot Cocoa aren't.
Mom, we're here.
Who wants Ovaltine Hot?
Me!
Let's make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Kleenex presents Gold Medal Moments.
His first hockey game? I was so scared. Then he scored the winning goal. And of course, he got a bloody nose during the celebration.
Thank goodness for Kleenex Tissue. Capture your child's moments by playing the Kleenex U.S. Olympic Gold Game. Details on specially marked packages or visit usgoldgame.com. You can win thousands of great prizes, including digital cameras.
I get all choked up just thinking about it.
Kleenex Tissue, proud supplier of 2006 U.S. Olympic Team. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the U.S. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 3506. Kimberly Clark Global Sales, Inc.
Oh, that's where I do this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540 Monterey, KGOE 1480 Eureka. Yes, this is talk radio at its finest, the progressive brand. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up next hour, it's the Free Speech Zone. We open up the phones to get your comments on issues in the news. And I'm expecting a report from Tommy Panic, our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter. And I just gave him a general assignment. Check out the Port of Oakland for security issues. Tommy Panic, sometime between 5 and 6 tonight. Later this hour, we're going to put a microphone in front of our producer, Matt Renner. He'll join me to discuss the civil war in Iraq and what it means, what's going on there, and some of the various indicators that have surfaced just in the last few days that indicate that this thing is going to get far worse and turn into the kind of internal struggle that will make it even more difficult for Americans to quell and, more importantly, to extract themselves from ourselves. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us, your calls are welcome at any moment. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. You can call me toll-free from Eureka or even Columbus, Ohio at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Now, many of us reacted quite negatively when Paul Hackett announced that he was pulling out of the U.S. Senate primary race in Ohio. Party leaders had leaned on him quite heavily. They also leaned on donors and said, don't give to Hackett. Give it to Sherrod Brown. And I don't really have a bone to pick with Sherrod Brown. He's a pretty good Democrat and a pretty good congressman. But I don't like party leaders making these decisions before the people have a chance to do so. So we turn to our man on the ground in Columbus, Ohio, Bob Petraeus, who is a candidate for governor, and he's also the co-author of the powerful book, How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008. You can get more information on Bob and the book at freepress.org. Governor Bob, welcome to the show today.
Glad to be on.
Can you get comfortable with that moniker?
Oh, I don't have any problem with it. I would be the people's governor. It would be a movement that put me there, and I'd be beholden to that movement, progressive movement.
Well, be careful with that language. Arnold Schwarzenegger used much the same lingo, but with an Austrian accent.
Oh, no.
Now, have you been golfing with Governor Taft recently, and who paid for it?
Well, we do know that Mr. Noe golfed with Governor Taft, and he's been convicted of 53, well, he's charged with 53 felony counts. No, I haven't really golfed in that crowd. I'm more kind of a basketball guy, kind of a old Piston Rick Mahore, just kind of, you know, using my size to back people down under and shoot the layup.
Yeah, but Bob, that doesn't work. Lobbyists don't like to shoot hoops.
Well, they like those wide open spaces of the green.
Yeah.
Then you can bet on holes, a real good way to exchange money.
Right.
Just bet that hole. So it's always been the favorite of lobbyists and people that launder money.
Yeah. And let me just briefly point out for people who aren't familiar with some of these Ohio characters, Tom Noe was a figure from the Toledo area who ran a scam regarding rare coins, and he got the governor to invest a pile of taxpayer money in rare coins, and gosh, he lost it.
Well, it appears he stole a lot of it or gave it to himself, $13.5 million, but over $40,000 went into the Bush campaign. Every major figure in Ohio ended up with some of that money, and he just wasn't a, they say rare coin dealer, but look, this guy was a nearly bankrupt hobby shop owner outside of Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
He sold Beanie Babies, baseball cards, and a few coins. So when they talk about rare coins, that's just the cover for ripping off $50 million from the Bureau of Workers' Comp.
Wow. Now, Bob, I wanted to invite you on the program today because we are curious about how things look on the ground in the Buckeye State regarding the Senate race against Mike DeWine, the incumbent Republican. And as I mentioned in the introduction, there are many of us here on a long-distance basis who are quite disappointed that Paul Hackett was forced out of the race. Now, Hackett, in many respects, is a fairly conservative Democrat, but his very clear position on the war and his status as an Iraqi war veteran gave him excellent traction to challenge Republicans and DeWine in particular on the most significant issue of our time, which is this misguided war in Iraq. So take a minute here, and if we could, go back to last August, because I saw Hackett interviewed on the Hardball show earlier this week, and he says that shortly after his narrow loss to Gene Schmidt in the Cincinnati special election to replace Rob Portman in Congress, that he was contacted by Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid, and they not only called him, they called Paul Hackett's wife and encouraged him to run for the Senate. And so he did. And then Sherrod Brown entered the race. So explain how that occurred and whether Brown had the blessing of party leaders when he entered the race, which would have been November. About there, is that right?
Well, the one step that's missing is that actually Brown declined initially to run and thus opened the field for Paul Hackett, that Paul Hackett actually talked to Sherrod Brown. Brown assured everyone that he wasn't running. And then what happened is as the president's numbers plummeted and as DeWine became unpopular within his own party as he took some centrist positions. Suddenly the poll showed that DeWine was perhaps the most challengeable senator in the United States, that he was the weakest of the Democrats. And at that point, Sherrod Brown decided to get back in the race after he assured everyone he wasn't running.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the timeline on that? When did Sherrod Brown flip?
Well, he just seemed to have flipped within the last 3-4 months. I mean, at the end of last year, after the race and into December, he wasn't running. Everyone knew he wasn't running. And then in January, suddenly he is running.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is he running, but the rumor campaign seems to have kicked in. A rumor campaign that really started in the when he was running in the 2nd District against Paul Hackett, when Paul Hackett was accused of being everything from a sort of really a civilian who hadn't seen combat to the exact opposite of that, you know, someone who had committed war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like there was a Rovian attack against Paul Hackett. The odd thing is that these rumors reappeared, and Hackett attributed them, and I think he's correct, to the Democratic Party establishment.
Mm-hmm. So he made it clear that he felt, Hackett did, that without raising at least $3 million, he wouldn't be able to respond to attacks on him, and he didn't characterize those attacks, but you've just kind of filled in those blanks a little bit.
They involve pictures of, you know, dead bodies in Fallujah and, you know, a Marine. And, he was involved with an operation that, you know, picked up the dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the standard rumor is that he committed war crimes. There's no evidence of that. But that was the whispering campaign, as well as that he was kicked out of college for sexual harassment and a variety of other things that, you know, haven't been proven at all. But, you know, standard whispering campaigns you usually associate with the Republican Party, but now had emerged among the Democratic Party chairs in the state.
We're going to take a break and return with Bob Petraeus. He's in Columbus, Ohio. He is a an instructor at a local college there in political science. He is the co-founder of the freepress.org website and the co-author of the book with Harvey Wasserman, How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008. And in his spare time, he's running for governor of Ohio as an independent this year. Independent or green? Well, we'll ask him when he gets back on the program here. 4:15 now, we'll take a quick break. If you'd like to talk with Bob, join us, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Buffets. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
XA 540 checking your traffic for the first time today. It's 419, and here she is, Metro Diane.
We're going to start in Corralitos. Freedom Boulevard at Haines Road. A cable truck is actually working in the roadway there, and there's no signs to warn approaching motorists, so definitely drive with caution through there. Some good news from Santa Cruz. An earlier accident, southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. It has been cleared out, but a little bit of residual slowing might be happening throughout the area there. Looking at the Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, both directions, checking in, stalling, accident-free. This report is brought to you by Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek. In honor of President's Day, Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek has special financing on every new Acura through February 28th. Call 1-800-ACURA-USA or AutoWestAcura.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you around 4:45. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. Your calls are welcome. We're talking about the reasons why Paul Hackett was squeezed out of the Senate race in Ohio. My number is 831-899-5792. You can also call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. Bob Petrakis with us from Columbus, Ohio. And as we mentioned, he's running for governor as an independent, trying to raise issues about electronic voting and many other points. Bob, we might come back to electronic voting here before we wrap up, as there have been some interesting developments with Diebold here in California recently. But continuing on this process where the party leaders persuaded Sherrod Brown to renege on his plans not to run for the Senate, he did so. And then they quickly pointed out that he had $2.5 million in the bank and Paul Hackett had less than $500,000. And that doesn't seem fair to me. Because, of course, Sherrod Brown, while, again, I don't have policy big policy differences with him, and I don't think he's a bad person, he has the benefit of being a Washington incumbent. And I would bet that the bulk of that $2.5 million is PAC money that came from people who he's, cultivated as donors over the years. And so it strikes me as very unfair. And then when we hear that people like Schumer and Reid were pulling strings behind the scenes to get donors not to give money to Paul Hackett, I just find that interference in the primary process. And why are the Democratic leaders afraid of a firebrand like Paul Hackett? Why can't the voters, or at least Diebold, decide who gets to challenge Mike DeWine?
Well, I mean, that's the question. The Democratic Party has tried to make sure that there's no primaries in Ohio over the last 15 years. Correspondent to that, it's the same period of time where the party has lost every statewide office. essentially, I mean, a lot of times they unite behind candidates that are, in fact, safe candidates or known to the backroom dealers. And as a result of that, these guys aren't going to win. The key thing, I mean, Sherrod Brown, who, you know, I consider a friend and I talked to last time I was in Washington, good politics, progressive guy. But the question is, tomorrow he's going to talk about port security. But it comes a little different if it's coming from Paul Hackett. Also, on the war issue, while Sherrod was opposed to the war, Paul Hackett, his whole language and the fact that he was a veteran of Fallujah attracted a whole bunch of people to the party that, quite frankly, Sherrod couldn't bring into the party.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we see this going on in Pennsylvania, just your neighboring state to the east, where I'm very impressed with Chuck Panacchio, a real progressive, and the party's trying to squeeze him out in favor of this almost Republican Bob Casey Jr., who's pro-life, pro-Alito, a DLC Democrat at best. And I really feel that the Democrats need to permit the fight to go forward and really let voters decide who can best challenge these incumbent Republicans and try to win back control of one or both houses.
I would agree, because what you've got is a new group of Democratic activists. Some call them the netizens, right, the cyber warriors. And these people have been pushed into politics because of MUBON and True Majority and the Internet. And many of them are independents, many of them, in some cases, former Republicans, some of them just disenchanted with politics. And these people are very active. And when there's backroom deals, they're in many cases very idealistic, trying to reclaim democracy. They were, in fact, the voting rights activists that I didn't know exist that really backed my challenge to the election, along with the other attorneys like Cliff Arnebeck, when the mainstream Democrats had turned on us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really hate to see these people leave, because I think if they leave, what you have is a potential parole phenomena. Where you get, I mean, this is a radical, angry center.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I don't really want to pick your Senate candidate from here in California, but I'd like to see a fair primary fight take place, and in this case, let the best man win.
And not only that, I think you'd get a much better debate on the war. And the reality is, Hackett may be more of a centrist, but being a centrist, he actually reflects the vast majority of Americans that are strongly against the war. While Sherrod Brown has been against the war, he really doesn't emphasize that point, and he's from a fairly safe seat in Akron. And a lot of people are mad. Centrist people, progressive people, peace people as well in a large coalition, when people like Hillary Clinton say we have to stay in Iraq, or John Kerry says we still have to stay the course.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite frustrating. And has there been strong reaction in Ohio? I really haven't seen any reports of that.
Well, yeah, there's been a strong reaction, but it really is among a hard group of activists, which the polls indicate make up about 6 to 9% of the Democratic Party, which is very important. I mean, it looks like there's been a loss. I mean, the reality is only about a third of the people are really paying attention to this story. Mm-hmm. The problem is a third of those people are the most activist people in the party. A lot of these were people that were close to Howard Dean, supported Dennis Kucinich, are the progressive wing of the party. And a lot of these people, what it looks like is that because of these rumors and the heavy-handed tactics, there's been a drop of about 7 points for Sherrod Brown,
mm-hmm.
which he really can't afford to lose that kind of points in a swing state where he's going to be lucky if he gets 50% plus one.
Yeah. Bob Petrakis with us from Columbus, Ohio. And just about 2 minutes remaining, Bob. Let's turn to Diebold issues. The company is still in deep financial trouble. The stock is in the basement. Rumors have flown that Diebold has talked about getting out of the voting machine business. And last Friday at 5 p.m. in the style of the Bush administration, California's appointed Republican Secretary of State announced that he had recertified Diebold machines for use in this June's primary here in California. Any comments you want to make on any of those points about Diebold?
Well, you know, I mean, the other, the mention that on Brad's blog that, you know, they've got wireless remote access in their computers.
Yeah.
Before it's all through, let me just say this. some very big names in polling and in the Democratic Party are about to shift and come out for our position. I think we've won the battle, and that it is very well known that John Kerry now holds our position, even if he's not speaking. So I think it'll be the key battle in the 2006 election. The reality is that J. Kenneth Blackwell in Ohio, and in other states where Diebold is that the Democrats aren't going to win because you have a private company with non-transparent software that is counting the votes, and I really believe rigging these elections.
Yeah. Bob, can you name any names of Democrats who are going to make this a key issue? I'd like to know about them.
I'm sworn to confidentiality, but I think a very, very big name.
When the news breaks, please email us, because this is something...
I'll give you a heads up when it's coming out. But
we want to champion
that. Very interesting development, and also a fairly well-known pollster.
Great. All right, well, thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Bob.
Okay, good to talk to you.
Bob Petraeus in Columbus, Ohio. Again, his book, co-authored with Harvey Wasserman, is How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election and is Rigging 2008. Coming up next, my producer, Matt Renner, will join us here on the program. We're going to talk about civil war in Iraq. Is it already there? Is it happening next week? What are the indicators? We'll talk about it. And we'll take your calls. 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender and about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. You can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We're Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Let's do it.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 4:33. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. During this next half hour, we want to try to air out a simple question. Is Iraq presently in a state of civil war? And if so, how do we define that, and why is it that the American media and the administration cannot use the terminology and, you know, give it to us straight up? And if Iraq is not in a state of civil war, then what do we refer to in terms of the sectarian violence, the payback clashes that have been occurring? I want to open up the phone lines, and we're also going to open up a second microphone here and bring in producer Matt Renner to talk with us this half hour. The phone number is 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. And if you're listening in Eureka or anywhere else within the sound of these voices, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you do call in, let it ring, because Matt's going to be picking up the calls in between our chats here. And, Matt, one of the reasons I wanted your views here, actually there are two. One is that you are of draft age, and you potentially face a call-up if the conflagration in Iraq spirals further out of control. And secondly, you have been talking on several occasions over the last week or so that you believe that Iraq is on the verge of, or now in the early stages of, a civil war. I agree with you. And I also simply commend you for your age. You graduated from college last year, that you can identify these issues despite the smoke and mirrors in the American media. So tell me and our listeners right now what you see as the critical factors that do indicate that Iraq is now in a civil war.
Well, before I start, I want to just compliment you on the amazing guests that you get on this show. It seems like someone's working really hard back there to make all that happen.
Don't hurt yourself patting yourself on the back there, dude.
I might bump into the mic. But, yeah, no, I think that it's important what you just said, that, you know, somebody my age, I mean, I can't take a lot of credit for it. It has a lot to do with the research that I do for this show. But it's paying attention to the news and seeing the filter is a lot easier now with the internet and with blogs that are, you know, often very accurate and break a lot of news way before the media in this country does. So I think that a lot of people my age have another channel into kind of foreign media and are on top of a lot of issues like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are other people around the world, and we cite the British media, particularly the Independent, on a regular basis here, because they do use honest language to describe what they see. And I also believe that there are more foreign reporters, non-American reporters, in Iraq today. And you and I have discussed this on several occasions, that we don't have very many reporters there. The ones who are embedded or, you know, bubbled down, hunkered down in the green zone or in hotels in Baghdad. And they only go out when they have military escorts. And when they do that, they're reporting on the stories that the military wants them to cover. And so we're not getting a full picture. But the picture we are getting is very disturbing. And it does strongly suggest that the predictions that people have heard on this program, not only from me, I don't consider myself visionary, but from the great guests that you book, Matt, we have heard people describing the potential for this kind of internecine warfare in Iraq.
Yeah.
And the elements were visible long before the U.S. invaded. It's just shocking that the Bush administration didn't listen to its own State Department, which did describe in detail the potential for this kind of a breakdown of civil society in Iraq.
Right. I mean, the disconnect between the people who are predicting this for so long and the actual policy and the idea that we can go in and just kind of hope for some kind of democracy to take hold and pull this country away from the brink of civil war or the civil war that they've been in for a while now is ludicrous and absurd and, you know, pretty much criminally negligent, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's what you were saying before about the press not covering this or covering it from a very American point of view or from a scared point of view is something that, you know, we've tried to do on this show to get, you know, poke holes in by having those photojournalists and the documentarians on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, last night when I first started hearing about the violence breaking out, I wanted to get on the internet, or I wanted to turn the TV on and have reporters on the ground in Baghdad with cameras following people around, doing interviews, seeing what was really going on there, because we hear so many different reports of the number dead and the number of Sunni mosques attacked, and it's just there's no way to verify it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very frustrating.
Well, our media currently is, you know, we've moved on from the Dick Cheney hunting accident to becoming obsessed with the port issue. And for me, it's a mixed bag because politically, I love to see the Bush administration on the defensive. I love to see Republicans attacking Republicans.
Yeah.
And so far, you know, nobody's gotten hurt in the issues related to the port and whether Dubai buys control of P&O or not. And so we're, you know, busy distracting ourselves with a non-existent conflict. Certainly, you know, if you've heard me talk about it, I do have concerns about Dubai controlling our port operations, but I don't see it as a huge national security issue of imminent importance.
Right.
Iraq is.
Right, absolutely. And I think that the scary part about Iraq is that, you know, we're not paying as much attention as we should to the civil war that's breaking out. And it's so much more of an issue for people my age, people who are going to be paying for this, you know, for the next however many generations it takes to pay off $2 trillion. And it's just, it's sad, but I think that it's going to start getting the attention it deserves as the level of violence increases.
Yeah. Let's pick up a call. Stephen in Marin County, thanks for joining us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with me and Matt Renner.
Actually, I think he just dropped. Oh. Sorry, I didn't put that up on the screen.
Okay. Well, Stephen, call back. We'll talk to you. We want to hear your thoughts, and anyone else can join this conversation. And our central point is Iraq currently, or is it on the verge of, a widespread civil war? I believe it is. And I think that our media accounts are soft-pedaling it, and I think that there is this effort to try to match the Bush administration's rosy predictions. Matt, you sent me a link today to GOP.com where they have a series of a list of links here to good news from Iraq. And, you know, it's a sad joke to those of us who know the reality of what's going on there. And most of these links are dated, are items from a year or 2 years ago. And way down the list is the president's plan for victory. Okay, Stephen is back. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Peter B. Love your show.
Thank you.
I wasn't able to call in earlier when you were talking about the Dubai port purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that I disagree with you about the importance of that particular transaction.
Tell me.
I really don't think it's germane that suddenly it's become this huge issue because Arabs are buying an American asset. The link to terrorism to me is sort of like linking Saddam to Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a valid comparison at all. And they should have the right to acquire U.S. assets the way we have the right to acquire in their country.
Hmm.
And besides, since the Bush administration is putting nothing into New Orleans, maybe Dubai can.
I do accept that we already sold the P&O operation from a U.S. company to a British company.
We didn't do anything. The owners of that business sold it to the owners of another business.
Okay. You are correct in your language. However, I think that when you see a government purchasing a company like that, that it should be carefully scrutinized, and I don't think that has occurred. And the White House has acknowledged today that there's a problem, and they've modified their position, and they're now okay with delaying approval for further review of this proposed transaction.
Well, as with everything else with this cancerous administration, we don't know what they did in secret. So we don't know if they reviewed it or not, really. And that's the problem. I'm glad to see the Republicans going after their own right now,
mm-hmm.
trying to distance themselves from Bush in time for November. With regard to the civil war in Iraq, yes, I totally agree with what you and your associate are saying. I'm surprised that the Kurds haven't been brought into it yet, and that'll probably be the next terrible thing that happens, right?
Possibly. I think the Kurds want to try to stay out of the Sunni-Shia struggle because their goal is more autonomy for themselves.
Yeah, can I comment on that? I think that the thing with the Kurds is, and I'm not an expert by any means, I've just studied this a little bit, but I think that the Kurds have a pretty big interest in staying out of it, and they have the forces to kind of combat any violence that comes their way. I think that the issue with the Kurds is going to be when the state does disintegrate, if they put pressure on the Kurds in southern Turkey to create an independent Kurdistan and see if they can pull Turkey into this whole debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would disagree with you in one sense, in that, you know, pretty much the insurgency has proven that no one is safe and no target is off limits mm-hmm. within that country.
Yes and no.
If Zarqawi wants to bring the Kurds in by blowing up an elementary school like the Chechens, they'll find a way to do it. But
mm-hmm.
I would agree with you, though, it is, in fact, full-fledged civil war, and it sort of peels off the last veneer of any kind of American control or influence. We should just leave.
All right.
Thanks for the call today.
Yeah, good to hear from you. And that leaves a line open if you'd like to join us. The simple question is Iraq now in a state of civil war? And if you don't think so, what would be the trigger points or the indicators to you that that situation has arrived? We're going to talk about this for the next segment, so jump on a line right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or Eureka, call us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's now 447, and here she is, Metro Diane.
We have a couple of accidents to tell you about. The R City Street accident is going to start in Salinas. Echo Valley Road at 101. We have an accident there. The Sheriff's Department is on the scene for that one. Also, a two-vehicle accident in Soquel Drive at Porter Street. Also in Gilroy, reports of a couple dogs running around the lanes at Leslie Road at New Avenue. This report is brought to you by National University. Some people seem to think they know everything, but you actually will. Earn your BS in Liberal Studies from National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in the next half hour. And Casey Lynch, he covers your traffic every weekday morning during the Stephanie Miller Show right here. The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, talking about a simple question, or it's relatively simple. It can be expressed in one sentence. Is Iraq in a state of civil war? 792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. I'm joined by producer Matt Renner here on the PBC show. And Matt, the other thing that we touched on earlier is that you are of draft age. And if anyone takes a look at the situation in Iraq and considers the possible response of the Bush administration to be the deployment of large numbers of additional troops into Iraq, like hundreds of thousands, one would expect that a draft will be forthcoming.
A state where everyone's on lockdown and, you know, there's actually some kind of...
I'm joined by producer Matt Renner here on the PBC show. And Matt, the other thing that we touched on earlier is that you are of draft age. And if anyone takes a look at the situation in Iraq and considers the possible response of the Bush administration to be the deployment of large numbers of additional troops into Iraq, like hundreds of thousands, one would expect that a draft will be forthcoming.
State where everyone's on lockdown and, you know, there's actually some kind of order after this. There's no real turning back to me. And the only way to, you know, calm these tensions is going to be to lock people down and actually enforce curfews like they're planning on doing tonight.
So we got to create one giant Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, or, you know, the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. Well, you referenced two important things there. One is the unstated but clear desire of the Bush administration to establish some substantial long-term bases in Iraq. Tom Engelhart, who writes for the Nation Institute and blogs at tomdispatch.com or .org, I'm not sure which, he had a powerful piece that we cited on the program last week during the oil for food program and the limits that were placed on Iraq during the 1990s. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Bush plays this out because, Matt, as you and I have talked about, it appeared that the administration was hoping that by, quote-unquote, standing up this government with a democratic veneer in Baghdad, that we could then make a deal with them related to the permanent bases and the future flow of oil and then start our withdrawal. To me, those are the remaining unfulfilled tasks on the agenda of Bush and his cronies.
Right, and I mean, it's amazing how screwed they are, to put it bluntly. It's something that, you know, we really can't leave there empty-handed in this administration's eyes. It's too important politically. They have to be able to pay off these oil companies that they've promised this money to and that they're beholden to because of their, you know, their campaign finance money and other eyes of the task that they're being asked to somehow figure out is to control oil pipelines and oil drilling and set up military bases is just so they're going to be so vulnerable that it's I can't imagine it succeeding. I mean, I can't imagine this turning out better than, you know, people getting pulled off the roofs of buildings in the green zone as the walls collapse.
Well, those visions are not far-fetched and probably not far into the future. But I can imagine a situation where...
The beginning of a solution that should have been dealt with when we started this war, when we got in there and however many hours it took to take down the Iraqi government, and instead we let them loot and destroy infrastructure, and now the electricity grid is in shambles in Baghdad. It's better actually in a lot of other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing that we haven't been able to do that, and it kind of shows how effective the insurgency has been and how ineffective our planning for this war was, except for the military aspect of going and crushing Saddam's troops.
Well, and based on the requests for funding that have been made to date, the Bush administration asked for $80 billion for Iraq and Afghanistan. And, of course, Bush didn't have time to mention it in the State of the Union message, so they mentioned it the next day. From what I recall, there's very little money for reconstruction projects. It's all for our military. So there was about $19 billion set aside for reconstruction in Iraq. Some of it's been stolen. Some of it has been diverted to spending on security to try to protect the people repairing those electrical towers and generating facilities from attacks by various types of insurgents. And we have heard nothing about adding more money to the reconstruction fund or recognizing that we can't, well, we shouldn't leave Iraq in such a primitive condition where we simply accept, well, you know, they don't really need electricity more than 4 hours a day.
Right. Right. And, I mean, the awful part about it is that, you know, as you mentioned briefly, that a lot of that money's actually disappeared. And that's one of the most absurd pieces of this. I mean, the corruption that we've allowed to take place is just testament to how awful this has been run from the beginning. And I think that something like $8 billion is an estimate of how much money is actually missing in cash in
right.
Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's how much it would cost for every, like, per year to inspect every piece of cargo that comes in the United States, just to tie it back to the other issue here. And instead, that money has been, you know, completely stolen from the reconstruction effort.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's horrible, and it's horrifying, and it's terrible. Now, I want to mention one more thing that mm-hmm. I think we have a little bit of an issue here in the United States. There's a definitional problem, or definition problem, and that's the definition of a civil war. Now, I think that the reason people are hesitating to call it a civil war or are getting away with calling it, you know, what is it that they call it?
Sectarian violence.
That's right. Is because we imagine a civil war to be much, much bloodier. We imagine genocide to go along with a civil war. Now, I think that this hasn't happened yet. There's a good chance it could, but when we see that genocide happening, when we see the actual ethnic cleansing of people in their homes and getting pulled out into the street and children dying on camera, that's when they'll call it a civil war.
Well, I'm not quibbling with you, but I would say that those markers are already there. We have the secret prisons that the Shiites have been using to torture Sunnis. We have indication of death squads. We have seen the U.S. getting drawn into the struggles and the payback efforts, and often the American military members are not really well enough informed, don't know the culture and the language to determine who's right and who's wrong, who's settling a score, and who is actually, you know, being targeted or torture or kidnapping attempted. So I think that those indicators are there, maybe not in the proportions that people would expect to call it a full-scale or wide-scale civil war, but I think that's really quibbling over the extent.
Right.
And in my view, the elements are there, the markers are there, and we ought to call it the way we see it. So henceforth, Matt, I'm prepared to talk about the civil war in Iraq. And if anybody wants to argue about that, they can call up and we'll do that.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, yeah, I mean, it's terrifying and it's horrible, but I'm glad we're out there telling some truth and putting a light on it that people don't necessarily see, and I'll keep working on it on my end, too.
Thank you. That's producer Matt Renner. He's going to go back and answer the phones now because we're opening up the lines for the Free Speech Zone in the 5 o'clock hour. Dave's going to kick it off for us, and you can join us, too. 888-579-2540 on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dr. Joan Kenley invites you to join the conversation this Saturday at 3 here on KRXA 540. She's going to share just what makes a great conversation, tips you can use right away. Joan and her guests will talk about listening with your body, mind, heart, and soul. Learn how good conversations avoid blame and judgment. Find out how you can stay real and authentic even in difficult conversations. Have you ever wondered how your values and beliefs shape what you say? Where do great conversations happen? What do music and conversation have in common? And a really big question, can the world be changed by conversations that matter? You'll hear personal stories and great information from Joan's impressive guests, Juanita Brown, Tom Hurley, and Paul Andrews. Get more information and hear previous shows at joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. Planning, communication, leadership, they all need major improvement before the start of the next hurricane season in about 3 months. So says a White House report on what went wrong after Katrina. Here's CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
The report amounts to the White House grading itself. Authored by the president's Homeland Security advisor, Fran Townsend, she put most of the blame for the flawed federal response to Katrina on government systems and policies rather than personnel.
In the end, we must do a much better job at preparation, at planning, and improve our response.
To that end, the report offers 125 recommendations on how to improve the government response, including closer coordination among civilian agencies and the military. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Criticism still snowballing for the Bush administration on the Arab Seaport deal. New York Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton.
We have a decision-making process that did not alert the president, the Secretary of the Treasury, the Secretary of Defense, that several of our most critical ports were about to be transferred to a foreign government entity.
Michigan Democrat Carl Levin.
Managing U.S. port facilities enables a company's employees to more easily obtain visas, driver's licenses, and bank accounts that open a window of vulnerability that could be exploited.
But the president maintains that with the Coast Guard and Customs in charge of port security,
people don't need to worry about security. This deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security for the United States of America.
And presidential advisor Karl Rove says the administration may okay a slight delay, but he says there's no reason to scrub the deal. Americans were hoping to hear the Star Spangled Banner, but instead, it was the Japanese national anthem at the Women's Olympic Figure Skating Gold Medal Ceremony.
This is Steve Futterman in Torino. Sasha Cohn had a terrible start. She fell on her first jump, then nearly fell on her second jump. At that point, she seemed to compose herself, and that was very fortunate. She was able to get a very good score despite the fall and the near fall, and she holds on to win the silver medal here in Torino.
A possible break in yesterday's huge heist in Great Britain. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
Police will say only that a man aged 29 and a 31-year-old woman are being held on suspicion of conspiracy to commit robbery. They were arrested in South London by officers investigating the security depot raid. In the hours leading up to the arrests, police had steadily raised the amount of money believed to be missing. The latest tally, as much as £50 million, about $87 million. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Return to sender, wind up in jail. Police in California arrest a man they say used a private shipping company to send half a pound of pot, but forgot to add an address label. They found the return address and the pot inside. This is CBS News.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Last year at the PBR World Finals, world champion Justin McBride tamed the beast.
Folks, Justin McBride has done it.
Now the beast is back, and revenge will be anything but sweet. Strap yourself in for an all-new season of the PBR Built for Tough Series. The toughest cowboys take on the baddest bulls.
Bugslinger, this might be his best year ever.
An all-new season of the PBR, Saturday and Sunday at 8 Eastern, only on OLN.
We're less than 4 years away from the next census, and as CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports, there's a big fight over how or where to count the prison population.
Traditionally, when the Census Bureau does its population count, it considers prisoners residents of the communities where they are incarcerated. That does tend to raise the populations of prison communities, giving them a bit more legislative clout. Congress has told the Census Bureau to consider changing, counting prisoners as residents of their home communities. But Census is balking, saying it would be inaccurate and cost $250 million to figure out prisoners' home addresses.
The videographer injured with ABC News anchor Bob Woodruff last month in Iraq is out of Bethesda Naval Hospital and on his way home to France. Doug Vaught is said to be in good spirits. The more seriously injured Woodruff is still mildly sedated and hospitalized. ABC News President David Weston says Woodruff may be moved to a hospital closer to his New York area home in the next few weeks. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
This is Akia.
My son has locked himself in our vehicle.
Oh, how old is he?
He's three.
Oh,
I know.
I'd like to verify your PIN number. Do you remember what that could be?
757.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
I'm going to set out the unlock for you. Okay. I'll call you back to let you know that the door should be unlocked.
Thank you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
The doors of the vehicle are unlocked.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Can you put me on hold and verify it for me?
I can verify it because my three-year-old just ran up to me. You want to tell her thank you for unlocking your door?
Thank you for unlocking my door. Oh, you're welcome.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 5:06, we're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. On a good day, we hear from Brookings, Oregon, too. And we're still up at full power, so Brookings, we want to hear from you today. Give us a call. My lines are open here in the free speed zone. You can come forward with any comment on any issue from any point of view. Yes, Republicans are welcome here. 831-899-5792, a local call for the Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free, Eureka or elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. Again, 888-579-2540. My email box is open for you, Peter, at krxa540.com. You want to talk about the ports? You want to talk about civil war in Iraq? You want to talk about Paul Hackett pulling out of the Senate race in Ohio? These subjects are all up for grabs here on the PBC Free Speech Zone this afternoon. And let me add just a couple of more topics, and then we'll get right to your calls. South Dakota is poised to become the first state to impose a flat-out ban on abortion. No exception for rape, incest, life, or health of the mother. Republican State Senator Brock L. Greenfield says it's a calculated risk, but I believe it's a fight worth fighting. What's it about? They see favorable, smiling faces in the new complexion of the United States Supreme Court. And they know what they're doing is quite edgy. And they're doing it on purpose. And what do they want? They want to enact this law, and then they want abortion rights supporters to sue them. And they want that case to get to the Supreme Court faster than Who Shot Bob. Watch it. That's the beginning of the end for abortion rights in this country as we know them. I don't know if you think Haiti is an important place or its strife is a significant issue to you or other Americans. But I happen to care. I love the Caribbean, and I've been there many times. And I have a soft spot, for some reason, for Haiti, a troubled nation that's had no end to difficulties over the last two decades. Last night I watched the PBS NewsHour, used my TiVo, took some notes, and I left the notes at home. But I was so pissed because they recapped that the new president, a guy who was declared president in a questionable election, René Préval, has announced that Jean-Bertrand Aristide may return. And if he does, he may face charges. And in the news accounts of how President Aristide left the country, what is omitted is that the United States essentially kidnapped him, put him on a plane, and took him to Africa against his will. But PBS didn't report that. They said that he left the country after a series of disturbances, a violent uprising. That's technically true, or half true. Because on a Sunday morning, the elected president of Haiti was taken at gunpoint by American forces, put on a jet, and shipped out of the country. And the New York Times skirts the issue this way. Mr. Aristide, a former ally of Mr. Préval's, was forced out of office 2 years ago by a violent uprising and pressure from the United States. Close, but not honest, and certainly not accurate. We've got a call into Congresswoman Maxine Waters to invite her on the program to talk about the current state of affairs in Haiti and to talk about the American media's strange way of covering it. Let's go to your calls now. Dave is on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter. You've raised some other deserving topics, but it had been my intent to follow up on your conversation with Matt in the prior hour.
Go right ahead.
I wish I could somehow be wrong in my conclusion, but I fear that I'm not. I truly believe that our purposes for being over in Iraq and in Afghanistan, for that matter, is that it is, for some, extremely profitable. That is, it is a means by which they're able to shift the U.S. Treasury into the pockets of the Halliburton, Bechtel crowd there, the General Electric. The billionaire oil tycoons are in control of the oil assets of another nation, other nations. So, and that's why they're there, and that's why they don't want to leave, and that's, you know, it leaves no noble purpose. We should not be there for mm-hmm. such a thing, but that's the nature of the cons that have stolen our government. They are greed beyond comprehension.
Well, and they also lack a sense of history or any sense of foresight, because history would tell you that this kind of factionalization and, you know, inter-faction warfare, religious warfare, was likely to happen, but they ignored it. You know, people like Brent Scowcroft would have told this to W if he had been willing to listen, or if somebody had read the book that Poppy Bush and Scowcroft published in 1998 or 1999 about why they didn't go into Baghdad during Desert Storm. So, you know, that's part of the issue. The other is, I agree with you about greed, and if they had been willing to spread a little more money around a little earlier, they might have been able to come up with some sort of a formula to maintain relative peace, buy off these various factions, giving them, say, a piece of oil profits in the future, or, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can grease people and get them to accept your agenda. But we have felt that by imposing an occupation, dangling the cruel hoax of democracy and pursuing that as a cosmetic veneer, that would be sufficient. And now, I'll bet the Bushies are really confounded. What are we going to do to stop this civil war so we can maintain our permanent bases and pump that oil out of there? This is really inconvenient and not certainly not welcomed by Bush and his pals.
I wonder, do you think they really care? I don't think it troubles them that a lot of people are going to get hurt, injured, killed. I don't think that is not something that troubles this crew. If it would result in devastation, if they'd actually have to leave and give up their great profits. I think that would trouble them.
Mm-hmm. I think Matt wants to add something here. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in and just say that I think a lot of it also has to do with the ego of George Bush and how he's been manipulated by these corporations and other his crony or his people that, you know, take advantage of the situation. I think that he really does want to be a war president, and he sees his role as a war president as the most important part. I mean, his commander, he refers to himself as commander-in-chief all the time, and it's like, that's, I think that's a huge part of why we went to war here. Afghanistan was quick, and, you know, he didn't want to get caught up in the messy details of trying to create some kind of stability there. He wanted to move on, and he wanted to get the next country. And my concern with that is, you know, who's next after Iraq falls and he can't be a war president?
Well, I believe there's something to that, but I truly believe that this is just so damn profitable for them. They have put this country some $8 trillion in debt, the Treasury, and at the same time expanded the wealth of their little PNAC, neocon cartels, so outrageous.
Yeah, the profit-taking is breathtaking when you consider that Cheney still has deferred compensation from Halliburton, and, you know, more recently we learned that Jon Snow, Secretary of Treasury, guy who ran CSX before he joined the administration, CSX did a $1.8 billion deal with Dubai Ports World just as he was transitioning through the revolving door, and guess what? Jon Snow has a deferred compensation package. He's going to benefit. And, you know, we just see this cycle repeated over and over again. Hey, Dave, I just want to take a second here to thank you because you're a very devoted listener and a frequent caller. I always appreciate your contributions to the show, and sometimes I have to squeeze you for time. But I really genuinely appreciate your participation.
Well, I hope you know how much I value you guys being on the air, doing what you're doing. Yes, you have my attention fully, completely, and the respect. You earn it. You don't.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll take more calls after the break, but I want to respond to Toby from Monterey, who asked how we're able to set up Gitmo in a communist Cuba. How can we justify it morally? Well, those are two key questions. I can tell you that we have a tortured lease on the end of the island of Cuba, where Guantanamo Bay is located. And Cuba has not cashed our checks for that lease for many years. They consider us evictable, but, you know, we've got more guns than they do. So it's a very curious setting. And the tortured logic of the Bush administration is that this isn't U.S. territory and therefore not subject to U.S. law. It's all bogus, and it's highly immoral. Thanks for the question, Toby. More of your calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone, and somewhere along the way, a report from Tommy Panic on port security on the West Coast. Call me at 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic, and you may not know this, but our own Metro Diane picked up the bronze medal for vehicular slalom at the Salt Lake Olympics just a few years back. Take it away, Diane.
I didn't want to spread the word, but, you know, thanks for acknowledging.
Yeah.
Got the stalled vehicle, Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17 at Alma Bridge. Stalled vehicle is moved over to the right-hand shoulder. We have reports in Gilroy, Highway 152 at Black Hawk Canyon Road. Five people riding their bikes on a narrow shoulder there, so it's a little bit of a visual hazard. Definitely watch out for them. And an earlier accident in Soquel Drive at Porter Street. That accident has been cleared. This report is brought to you by McDonald's. From the premium chicken sandwiches to the chicken McNuggets made with white meat, you can trust McDonald's for carefully inspected, top-quality chicken. Taste the difference today only at McDonald's. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Is this politically correct in 2006? It's Ray Stevens from about 1965.
Tell you about Ahab, the Arab, the sheik of the burning sands. He had emeralds and rubies just a-dripping off of him and a ring on every finger of his hand. He wore a big old turban wrapped around his head and a scimitar by his side. And every evening about midnight, he'd jump on his camel named Clyde and ride silently through the night to the Sultan's tent, where he would secretly meet up with Fatima of the Seven Veils, the swingest number one dancer in the Sultan's whole harem. Cause like him and her had a thing going, you know, and they've been carrying on for some time now behind the Sultan's back. And you could hear him talk to his camel as he rode out.
Now, I have a question. And he said, if we sell control of our ports, or if we permit them to be sold to the nation of Dubai, could we appoint Ray Stevens as ambassador to Dubai? Number one, I don't know if Ray Stevens is still with us. And number two, I'm sure that some Bush pioneer already has secured that cushy post in the Emirates. My lines are open for you. Any topic, any viewpoint from anywhere, call me at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Jake, you're up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Not too bad.
You know, I think if Jack Abramoff beats the rap, he probably already, you know, has a deal with Bush that he'll be the ambassador to United Arab Emirates. So, you know, Ray Stevens is out of a job, I guess.
Well, but Abramoff is a deeply observant Jew. I'm not sure that he'd be well-received in that part of the world.
I should have, Yeah, I should have thought about that first. Sorry, Peter.
Although maybe, you know, his faith, I don't know. I don't want to question his faith, but he is now a convicted criminal, and I just can't wait for him to sing. And if he can sing like Ray Stevens, I'll be happy.
Well, another interesting angle to Abramoff is his connection to the apartheid regime of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very interesting connections during the 80s where he was involved with that regime that people should look into if they get the time. So I was basically just calling today to talk about this port issue.
Mm-hmm.
It just amazes me that the Republican Party supposedly, you know, their one strong political issue, right, was protecting the homeland. And here you have a great episode that I'm enjoying, just like you, watching Republicans eating their own. And it just comes down to this. The Republicans in Congress have to run in November. They have to face the public. And the public is ticked off. Both Republicans and Democrats out here do not want this deal to go through. Of course, Bush, he doesn't have to stand for re-election. It's for George W. Bush, it's just simply time to cash in. You know, so his buddies over there in Dubai, he gets to give them this little deal, sell off a piece of America. You know, they might as well put a for sale sign on the Bush White House after all, because that's what they're doing. They're privatizing everything, including our elections after all. I mean, this whole Republican philosophy of taking the public wealth and giving it to those who already have too much wealth has to end, Peter, and it's time the American people stood up for themselves and told the Republican Party to go to hell.
Well, I'm just trying to find, you know, some way to spark a little disagreement with you, Jake, but it's impossible. Thanks a lot for checking in today.
Hey, have a good day.
All right. Let's go to Jerry in Delray Oaks. Jerry, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. Great show as always. I have a comment about the port issue. You know, I think it's interesting when I hear people who, and there are a few comments being made about our over-quote reaction to this issue, and that really it's not that big a deal, and that we're going to still be security, in charge of security. But I thought that even if this weren't the Arab United Republic, I thought that rewarding contracts was done somehow for good deeds done. And I don't know that this is a country, let alone the fact that they have been connected with terrorism, but what good deeds have they ever done? Have they caught any terrorists for us? Have they helped us get Osama bin Laden? What's their track record?
Well, and let's try to confine this to the language, mangled as it is, of our president.
Yeah.
Because he said, you know, that the Bush Doctrine is a very simple one. If you can read a comic book, you can understand it. You're either with
us or against us.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
this
should be really clear cut, right,
yeah,
Jerry?
Exactly. The other thing I want to bring up, there was an item mentioned today, and unfortunately I don't have the names of the authors, but I heard it on the Tom Hart show.
Tom Hartman?
The Wall Street Journal today had an article on the front page by two or three reporters talking about the economics of this issue, and that one of the reasons behind our selling off so much of American business has to a great deal to do with our national debt, with not the debt, but our trade imbalance of $750 billion, and that we're selling off more and more assets of this country in order to meet the trade deficit.
Jerry, I haven't seen the journal today, but I would offer a couple of comments.
Sure.
I don't dispute that analysis. I think that there is a great deal of profit-taking. And, you know, we saw the merger and acquisition activity, consolidation of various industries in the United States during the 1990s. And many of these companies have merged and acquired to the point where there are no longer any American companies that are potential partners or takeover targets. And so the Ponzi scheme requires a greater fool and someone with more money who is outside of the U.S. economy. And so, you know, in order to sustain the Ponzi scheme of you know, trying to take profit out of these industries, whether or not they are earned profits, well, the way you do that is you pump up the value and then you find a sucker who's willing to pay too much for it. And there are other trade-offs in place here. The other thing I would mention is just that during the Bush administration, the value of the dollar compared to other key currencies, and in particular the euro, has dropped significantly. And it's not so apparent to us domestically.
Yeah.
But if you travel overseas, you really feel it. And that's another one of the hidden ways that this administration has stolen our wealth and redistributed always to the top. They don't let much trickle down to you and me. Jerry, thanks for your call today. Always good to hear from you. I want to hear from you. It's the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583.
There are possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me
estate.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're in the Free Speech Zone, and I welcome your calls. Any subject, any viewpoint, from any location in these United States, we have a toll-free line that works coast-to-coast. 888-579-2540. If you're on the Central Coast, you can save me a dime. Call 831-899-5792, a local number. And in view of the controversy over the management of ports in the United States and this potential sale of P&O to the nation of Dubai, I asked our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, to check in on the ports here on the West Coast, in particular, the port of Oakland. And I suggested that Tommy could hop on a freighter as it passes under the Golden Gate Bridge. And I don't know if he'd use a bungee cord or maybe windsurf up to the ship and sneak onto it. He's a resourceful guy. Let's see what he did with my assignment. Tommy Panic, how are you today?
Doing well, Peter, exclusively on assignment for you.
And, you know, the windsurf idea wasn't bad, but I went for the bungee off the bridge. It was going to be a little bit of an issue once I got up to the ship on the surface of the water. I needed to enter from above, and I just went straight with the bungee. As I flexed with the bungee, I cut the cord, and I'm in here. I'm basically headed, I don't know what this thing is called, but I am on a freighter. We're in the San Francisco Bay now, headed into harbor. And, I mean, of course, national security is all well and good, but you know that $6.8 billion is even better. Isn't it true that the United Arab Emirates was one of the couple nations that actually recognized the Taliban as the official government of Afghanistan? But hey, it's a global economy, right?
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, I don't think any stealthy missions are going to be turned over to Al-Qaeda anytime soon. But, you know, I don't know. In terms of national security, we're just trying to get an idea of what's on some of these ships and whether it matters who is in charge of the ports. And I'm not so sure that it does.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Geiger counter with me.
Really?
Is that the kind
you get at Radio Shack with some assembly required?
That's exactly where I got it. I am in search of fast electrons and ions emitted by radioactive material. I do hope the fact that the CEO of Radio Shack recently resigned over some resume inaccuracies, I hope that doesn't mean this thing doesn't work, but
okay.
We'll look around a little bit. But I've had a little bit of time to examine the lower interior of the ship or the cargo hold, and this baby is packed.
Really?
Plenty of legit cargo, chocolate that originated in Holland, all sorts of clothing from Thailand, electronics from Japan. I actually might grab one of these Xbox 360s if I can figure out how to get off the ship with this thing. But here's what's a little bit weird. There's some weird stuff that really, you know, I don't know that it's a threat to national security, but it's got to be illegal. There's a couple of crates of, I don't even know what these things are. They appear to be some rare marsupial from Australia. And they're for Dick Cheney, care of the Armstrong Family Ranch. So I don't know if he's going to hunt these things or what. There's a whole shipment of poppy seeds that originated from Afghanistan. We know what those are usually used for.
Right.
And in this shipment, there is a broken dialysis machine.
Wow.
I don't know. I found a big box of cash. I found some blow. But in terms of the fast electrons and ions emitted by radioactive material, I'm finding absolutely nothing. So, again, no sign of anything that would threaten national security, but stuff that's obviously not supposed to be on this ship. But you know what, Peter? The marsupials are loose.
Oh, my God.
The marsupials are loose. I got to deal with these things. I got to go.
There goes Tommy Panic. He bungeed onto a container ship off the Golden Gate Bridge this afternoon, and there you have his exclusive report. Let's go to Carol in Santa Cruz. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, thank you very much. You know, for so long, as well as every other Democrat that I know, have been so frustrated, and people keep saying, you know, we have to do something. And what I've done for a long time, or call my representatives, call the Senate, call everybody, including the White House, telling them what I think. But things just keep going as they go, and I finally came upon something that I now have done, and some friends of mine are going to do it, and we are ending our relationships with Republicans.
You are?
Yes. I've got a cousin who's an avowed Republican. Her husband's a VFW or whatever they're called,
mm-hmm.
and they've made really a lot of bad cracks. Mostly they go back to, you know, they're so stupid. They go back to Clinton every time they turn around.
Yeah.
But she invited me to come up for a few days, and first I said yes, and then the more I thought about it, you know, she wouldn't watch Fahrenheit 9/11. She didn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I finally called her, and I said, I'm not coming. And she said, why? I said, because you are allowing this government to continue as it is. And I said, it will not be much farther until I'll consider you kind of like a Nazi. I said, we're killing women and children, innocent women and children, and you are going along with it. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And I mean it, too. And I ended another relationship with another Republican. I don't know too many. I was related to one, and then I knew this other one. But my friends are doing that, too. And what we think is we're letting people know we really mean it.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to end a relationship that may have been a nice relationship, although it's very hard for me to have a nice relationship with Republicans, but nonetheless, maybe some of us do, or maybe some of us should start thinking about that, because it is these people that are allowing the government to continue. They put
Carol,
it in there.
Carol, you touch on something that I'm really glad you brought up, and I want to invite other listeners to call in and talk about this, because I've confronted it in my own social life, where I have pulled away from a few friends who are very hardcore Republicans who express themselves very well, but what they have to say is shocking to me for its lack of a moral compass and for its slavishness to political power and simply the fact that the Republicans have the power and therefore they tend to genuflect to it. But there are some folks I know who I had a very healthy relationship, and we could agree to disagree. We could debate over the dinner table in a friendly manner. But I have to say that this era and the manner in which those of us who patriotically dissent from the positions of this administration are marginalized and you know, we are subjected to pejoratives and other kinds of name-calling. And I, frankly, have stopped seeing this one couple who I'm thinking about because it's just too uncomfortable to sit there and either make small talk and avoid the GOP elephant in the living room or to have an honest discussion and say, you know, I'm sorry, but I just think you're dead wrong. And I have some neighbors who I've, you know, been friendly with for 15 years, but never, you know, we don't go on vacation together or anything like that. We go out to dinner a couple of times a year. We share barbecues and the backyard fence. But we studiously avoid political conversations now because, well, they invited me over to their house once last year. And I told them what I thought about Bush and the war. And I almost persuaded my neighbor to vote for Kerry. But since then, we talk about the yard, we talk about local issues, but we don't talk about Bush and we don't talk about Democrat-Republican.
Well, and you know, I hear that, and that's what most of us have done up until now. And now I don't just think they're wrong. I hold them responsible. I mean, they voted for him. To me, it's like they voted for Hitler. You know, I really mean that. I really do. I mean, that's how strong I feel about it.
Well, Carol, I appreciate the strength of your comments. I want to thank you for calling. I think that there'll be a wave of calls from other people behind you, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Thank you so much.
I would like to hear from you, and I'm sincere about this. If you have stopped talking to family or friends because of the political divide created by the president who told us, I'm a uniter, not a divider. Call the program right now. I'd like to hear your point of view. 8318. And maybe you're a Republican who can no longer communicate with those of us on the left. I can understand that. 831-899-5792 Central Coast, 899-KRXA. North Coast, toll free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll take more calls after this upcoming break. But before we go to the break, I want to mention two items. One is, I suggest you go to truthout.org and look for a recent article posted by Joe Galloway of the Salt Lake Tribune. He is a staunch supporter of our military, and he's written a very powerful piece here that I'm going to cite for you briefly. He said, there are always costs in a war, human and hardware costs, and as we draw close to the beginning of the fourth year of our operations in Iraq, it's time to tally those costs one more time. As of this week, a total of 2,270 Americans have lost their lives in Iraq, the great majority of those losses suffered in combat. The number of wounded has reached 16,653, just over half of those marked wounded but returned to duty. A little-known cost is in vehicles lost in combat. Just for the U.S. Army, that number has reached nearly 1,000. The cost for replacing these totally destroyed vehicles and overhauling thousands more totals $9 billion in this year's proposed defense budget. Since the Iraq combat operations began in the winter of 2003, the Army has lost 20 M1 Abrams tanks, 50 Bradley fighting vehicles, 20 Stryker wheeled combat vehicles, 20 M113 armored personnel carriers, 250 Humvees, and some 500 Fox wheeled reconnaissance vehicles. The bulk of these losses in tracked and wheeled vehicles were to the IED. To that equipment toll for both Afghanistan and Iraq, add 27 Apache attack helicopters, 21 Black Hawk utility helicopters, 23 Kiowa, or Kiowa, warrior assault helicopters, and 14 big Chinooks. And that adds up to somewhere in the range of 80 helicopters. Only 17 of those were lost in combat. The rest were destroyed in accidents. The list goes on, and I encourage you to read it. And the Center for American Progress, Brian Katulis, who's been on our program before, did something very interesting. They took the current cost of the war, $400 billion, and they brought it home. This was published in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning on page A15. The city of San Francisco is on the hook for $1.1 billion of the $400 billion spent so far. San Jose's share is $1.6 billion. Oakland's is $404 billion. You get the picture. Sausalito, $16.2 million, that little town. That's the true cost of this misguided war in Iraq. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment. One more time, my number is 888-579-2540, toll-free, 888-579-2540. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
Chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill, he says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
KRXA 540, one more look at traffic, and here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Gilroy. It's northbound 101 before 152. There are injuries reported in this. A solo vehicle actually hit the center divide, so emergency crews are en route for that. In Greenfield, northbound 101 at Lago Marcino Avenue, we have a two-vehicle accident in the center divide. Do be aware that there's some metal debris from the crash in the roadway. Also an accident coming through for Pacheco Pass, Highway 152 east of Dinosaur Point. Two vehicles involved. They both have been moved over to the right-hand shoulder. This report is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, right now, your participating Genuine Toyota Service Center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchases. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. You can take the rest of the day off. Barry Lynn's coming up right after 6 o'clock here on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 5:49. Into the home stretch here in the free speech zone. Your calls are welcome. 888-579-2540. Had an urge to hear Martha Davis in the Motels. I hope you don't mind. Let's go to Rebecca in Aromas. Hello, Rebecca. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I think you might be a first-time caller.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Well, welcome. I'm glad to hear from you.
Well, I'm just thrilled that your station is out there, and now we have you to listen to and give so much great information to us. It's just wonderful.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. I was calling because I had to laugh when I got in the car and started hearing you talking about family and friends and Republicans and Democrats. And, yeah, I feel like the old series Family Ties where, you know, I was a single parent and I raised my daughters and I was a very strong Democrat and raised them that way and now they're both Republicans. So.
Ouch.
Yeah, that was a big ouch. But I have to tell you that I have a son-in-law that is very strong Republican and I felt it was terribly sweet on my birthday this year when he told me that my birthday gift would be that he would be a Democrat for a day. And that he would go to any demonstration I wanted him to go to and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it really it touched my heart and helped me realize that we are past the politics and we just leave that aside.
Well, that's good. That is one way to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's the only way because we were like other guys. I mean, we were fighting and we were yelling and screaming because we're both so very passionate about things. And then we decided, hey, this is crazy. Let's just put this aside at least until the next election.
Now, what do you think about what our caller said, though, that she feels that they're responsible for the mess that we have? And she put it on a par with Hitler, which is extreme in one respect, but not in another.
Exactly. I mean, I felt the Hitler part was extreme. And, yeah, I get angry because of all the people that voted, but their vote's as important as mine. And what are you going to do? I mean, you make your vote and you live by your convictions and you try and continue to love and be with your family and friends.
Yeah. And it is challenging, isn't it?
It's become very challenging in the last 5 years, yeah. We didn't have too much of a problem before then.
Well, yeah, and I got along really well with my Republican friends during the Clinton era because I had so many differences with Clinton.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm kind of a moderate myself, so there wasn't any issues. But when Bush got in and all of his extremism, it just threw me into a tizzy. And I just had to let it go, at least around the people that I love.
Well, Rebecca, I want to get you one of those bumper stickers. You've probably seen the one that friends don't let their friends go to Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
And we need one that says, you know, friends don't let friends vote Republican.
Oh, I love that. I'll make my son-in-law, you know, put that on his car for one day anyway.
Great to hear from you, Rebecca. Spread the word. Can I make you vice president for marketing in Aromas?
Hey, anytime.
All right. Then.
I do spread the word, and I'm just thrilled that you're out there, so thank you so much.
All right. Good to hear from you. Now, Ed in Aptos, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Ed.
Good afternoon, Peter. I had two thoughts. One, about the previous couple of calls. I don't have anybody in that category. I can talk to a Republican that, you know, close enough that I have daily contact with. I used to when I was working, but since I've retired,
mm-hmm.
I've lost that contact. But I, you know, I just can't. I try to get my head into their head, you know, and figure out what they're thinking. But I've come to the conclusion that they're the frog in the pan, where you put the frog in the cold water and then you turn up the heat, and you know, it just sits there because it doesn't detect very much of a change until he's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening to our country is it's just incrementally. And
using your metaphor, Ed, when we tell people, hey, you're the frog in the pan, they say, no, we're not.
Well, they've all in the emperor's new clothes, too. As you know, when are they going to see that the guy is J. bare ass naked.
Well, I got to warn you, one more and we're calling the metaphor police on you.
Well, you have to watch those metaphors like a hawk. How's that?
Okay.
I've been busted.
Hey, Ed, make your other point. I got a bunch of calls here I got to get to.
It's just that I think one of the ways I was thinking how we're going to attack this problem is to be able to talk to these people and see if we can convince them the error of their ways. I don't know if maybe that's a mission impossible, but I think maybe this container port thing might do it. I think that on the other hand, I think it might be a Karl Rove plot just to get the let the guys off the hook and say we oppose Bush, you know.
Nobody's talking about Cheney this week.
No, well, a little bit, but
not much.
It's going to be interesting to see what they come up with next. It's just, I mean, it's one thing after another that takes the people's minds off the real problems.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Ed. I understand Thor's on the line. Hello, Thor. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Thor, do we have you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Thor.
Oh,
go right ahead.
Great. I just want to talk about Portgate, and I am actually a conservative. I enjoy listening to your guys' station, though, and hear the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually been very frustrated with the Bush administration. I think they've pretty much ignored the problem with our borders and have virtually done nothing to try to secure them.
I sure agree with you. Go ahead.
And now with this whole issue with the ports, I'm just at the point now where I'm really seriously doubt that they really have America's security as their primary concern.
And do you think it is ineptness, or do you think this is conscious that they have an agenda that doesn't involve really the true security of the American people? That's just a line that they use to manipulate us.
Well, let me put it this way. Homeland Security Director Cheritov recently said that they looked over the security concerns and all, and he said that they've balanced security with maintaining these global deals and stuff like that. And to me, saying they're balancing security is basically saying that they've compromised somewhat on it. And I think they have their own agendas in place, and that they're willing to go for that ahead of securing the country.
Hey, Thor, I'd like to send you a bumper sticker because you're thinking for yourself.
Yes, I like you guys' theme. Like I said, I am a conservative, but I do like to
You're welcome here any day, even on the days we disagree. Thanks for the call. John in Prunedale, join us. You got the last word on the PBC show tonight.
Hey, Peter. You know, I came out from Indiana to California to live because of George Bush. I just wasn't comfortable being back there where people didn't see the light of what was going on. And I no longer speak to anyone in my family at all.
Yeah, what town in Indiana?
Evansville. Yeah, I spent a year in Ohio working for Gary on the way out. But
I grew up in Cincinnati, so I've been to Evansville.
Yeah. Well, that's the family seat, actually, is Cincinnati. But anyhow,
when we flush, Evansville gets it.
Hey, Peter, the other thing is, I'm a 40-something lifelong Republican, and I've been totally radicalized by these guys, and to the point of the Green Party even.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how dramatic it's been in my life.
John, I'm out of time, but I'm really glad you called today, and you keep listening, and feel free to call, and call when you don't agree with me, too, okay?
Okay, thanks for the show, Peter.
All right, good to hear from you. Another great day on the radio. I want to thank everybody who made this possible, including you. Yeah, you out there listening.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be back at you again tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. right here.
Again.
The Peter B. Collins Show is produced by Matt Renner.
Do you care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we're losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show, Labor Matters, as we discuss these important issues.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. There's a new twist on the Arab Seaport controversy. Just weeks before the Dubai World Ports Company submitted the winning bid to manage American seaports, the company's home country contributed $100 million to help Hurricane Katrina victims. The Bush administration says the cash received from United Arab Emirates was nearly four times the amount donated by all other countries combined. The State Department says there's no connection. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist is among those asking for more time to look into security concerns over the port deal.
I have requested to the president to put a pause, to postpone a consummation of a deal because of this feeling of vulnerability.
And CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller says there's a strong possibility that'll happen.
It amounts to a bit of a concession on the port deal. Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove says the White House is willing to accept a delay in the transfer of port operations to a company owned by the United Arab Emirates. President Bush wants to avoid a veto showdown with Congress, and Rove said a delay would give the administration more time to make its case.
The White House report on the chaos after Hurricane Katrina calls for major improvements in communication, leadership, and planning.
We will learn from the lessons of the past to better protect the American people.
Fran Townsend, the president's Homeland Security advisor, says the former head of FEMA has to take some of the blame.
Michael Brown chose not to follow his chain of command. That can't happen again. That has to be very clear.
And she promises
we will have more equipment, more satellite phones, more radios, and more ways to get the information we need to make critically important decisions.
Seven U.S. soldiers dead in two roadside bombings. It's all part of the bloody aftermath of this week's attack on a Shiite mosque. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier is in Baghdad.
Shiites are blaming Sunni militants for the terrorist bombing of one of their holiest shrines. And across the country, ordinary Sunnis have been paying with their lives. More than 100 have been murdered from Baghdad to Basra, including more than 40 victims near Bakuba, apparently dragged from their cars at a fake checkpoint and executed. Sunni mosques, too, have been a target for revenge.